as we mentioned yesterday, in Tractate and Kotin Shir, the Birkas Avram passed away. He was a Rebbe Magachir for many, many years in Yeshivas Kol Torah in Yerushalayim. And his Sfarim, while we can't say that we quote them all the time, his Sfarim are certainly enormously influential. And as we'll speak about a little bit, even as far as like for our Yeshiva with different Rebbeim who learned in Yeshivas Kol Torah, of Yaakovson, I believe, a Talmud on some level, the Birkas Avram, that he definitely is someone of enormous significance. His Sfarim are wildly, wildly, you know, popular. I saw, for those of you that are into Twitter, that a dear and old friend, Rabbi David Beshefkin, pointed out, you know, about the Birkas Avram. I think the line was, nearly anyone who spent time in yeshiva benefited from his marvelous works. I know I did. That as far as who the Birkas Avram was and what he represented, many people that learned in yeshiva certainly were able to appreciate who he was. What's interesting is, so he's primarily known for his Sfarim on Shas. His Sfarim on Shas were not just written on sort of the first 10 blot of a Masechta, which are sometimes learned in yeshivas, but he wrote on entire Masechtas, and he wrote on sections of Shas that were very valuable. It's one of the reasons why his Sfarim are so helpful, that when you're learning sections of a Masechta, or even individual Masechtas that sometimes are not learned the same way, so it's good to know what Sfarim are around. So sometimes the Birkas Avram, sometimes the Birkas Avram had a sefer on it, the wonderful schus that all of the Sfarim, I believe, are uploaded onto Hebrew books. They're all online. You can get access to them. It's certainly something which I think is very beneficial. We mentioned this yesterday. A lot of the stuff is from, like, you know, the news article since he passed away. At the age of 70, he retired from Kol Torah and spent the next 20 years trying to learn. And then he wrote a bit on Masechtas that are not learned the same way. I think Masechtas Shabbos and Masechtas Megillah came out since the time that he retired. I want to speak a little bit about the way that he learned and his precise Derech HaLimud, because in many ways, I think it is he does things which I think on some level, obviously much less effectively, but on some level we try to do or try to model here. He just did it well. And he really, I think on a Derech HaLimud level, was very, very important and very significant. There's two ways to figure out what his Derech HaLimud was. One would be to really go through all of his Sfarim and Shas and to try to reconstruct a little bit, you know, what he did, or at least a significant amount of it. That is one way of doing it. The way to cheat and do that is that he wrote, aside from his Masechtas and Shas, he also wrote Musar Sfarim. He himself points out in the Hagdama, some of Musar Sfarim, it's an important idea. People know it's the same Torah. The same Torah, the same person that can teach you Shas can also teach you Musar Sfarim. And it all comes from Chazal, it all comes from Rishonim, editions of Shari Tshuva, Mesiyos Yesharim. He was a person that was involved, certainly, in both of those worlds. In one of his volumes on Musar, his volume on Birkas Avram, Ma'amarim V'Hadrachos, on Torah and Tefillah. So on page 199, he has a variety of tips in Derech HaLimud under a section titled Bidarchi Ha'iyun B'Torah Uvalpeh. That this is, I guess, some etzas that he has for the way in which a person sitting down to learn Gemara B'Iyun can be successful. Now, when someone gives you advice and you're not sure, well, are they really so good at it? So we take their advice, you know, with a bit of a grain of salt. When somebody gives advice and they have proven through a lifetime of work that they know of which they're talking, they know what they're talking about. So then already we take the advice in a bit of a different direction. What I find to be fascinating is a lot of the advice that he shares here, he mentions also in a hespit, in the 10th volume of the journal Yeshurin. Yeshurin is a very chashuv Torah journal. In the 10th volume of the journal Yeshurin, so the Birkas Avram, and here's important to get the Mesorah a little bit. So you have Reb Chaim Brisker. So Reb Chaim, we, in the world in which we live, are more familiar with one branch of the Mesorah. Reb Chaim had a son named Moshe Soloveitchik, who had a son, Rav Yosef Dov, who we refer to as the Rav. And many of our Rebbeim, I think since the time that I'm in ninth grade, I think every Rebbe I've had has either been a Talmud of the Rav or a Talmud of a Talmud. You know, really this being a primary sort of direction in the Mesorah. For many, the real link to Brisk, and this we know also, comes from the Reb Chaim's other son, the Brisker Rav, Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik had a son that took over the Shiva of Brisk in Yerushalayim, also Reb Yosef Dov, named after Reb Chaim's father, the Beis Halevi, but there Reb Yosef Dov is referred to as Reb Beryl. Beryl Soloveitchik, Reb Shiva of Brisk in Yerushalayim, had lots and lots of talmidim, shiurs in front of people in the triple digits, people that would come out to hear a shiur. The Birkas Avram is one of the earliest talmidim of Reb Beryl Soloveitchik. So in the 10th volume of the Joel Yeshurin, he gave a hesped for his great Rebbe. And what's so beautiful, the same pieces of advice that he makes sense in many ways, that he gives over for success in Derech Haliman are the same things that he feels like he received from his Rebbeim, part of that link to that world of Brisk. Rabbi Yoshua Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yoshua, Rashi Brisk nowadays, son here of Reberel, so Rabbi Yoshua gave a hesped, they were friends for a long time, and gave a hesped at the Levaya of the Birkas Avram. I have no bikias in the journal Yeshurin to, you know, oh, volume 10, that's probably where the hesped is. It's linked to on his Wikipedia page. It does not require any fancy bikias. It required about 45 seconds of Google, and then reading it required a little bit of time, but it's really fantastic. I want to speak about what I would say are a bunch of different points the Birkas Avram points out about his Rebbe, and a bunch of points that he himself does in his Sfarim, and he articulates there in that Bedarchi Ha'ian, B'Torah Sheba'al Peh. And it's something I think is so valuable and really important to know. Let's begin as follows. Number one, the primary goal when a person sits down and you're going to learn a sugya b'iyan. So what is your primary goal? The primary goal is to understand the sugya which is in front of you. It is about a search for MS. What's the alternate possible goal? So the alternate possible goal is that I could want to produce a chiddush. I could look for something to be able to write upon. Oh, there's a line in the Gemara. I think I have Torah on that line. It says Shliach. I have Torah on Shlichas. Let me give Shir on Shlichas. No. To understand the sugya, which is there, which is present, which is right in front of you. That's the primary goal. For the Birkas Avram, Chidushim are never what you're intending to do. My goal in sitting down is to be able to understand a sugya. He writes, understand the whole flow of the Gemara. Understand the flow of the Gemara, the flow of Rashi and Tosfos, to understand what's there. And my goal is to understand Shitos HaRishonim. Shitos HaRishonim. Chidushim often will then come as a result of trying to understand why Tosfos says what it says. I'll come to Chidushim, but that's never the primary goal. He writes, as an example, when he's maspid his Rebbe, Reberel Soloveitchik, that by Reberel Soloveitchik, so you had an interesting phenomenon. You had guys that would come from all over. By the time you made your way to Brisk, so you had already been learning yeshiva for a while. You were a bit older because Brisk, they were learning Kachim. So when people would enter the shir of Reberel Soloveitchik, they already learned Nash and Nezikin for a long time. They were older than we are. They already learned in high school for a bunch of years, whatever they went to at the time. They learned yeshiva for a couple of years already. They then finally made their way to Brisk after, you know, years of learning Nashim and Nezikin. Often, especially the brighter Talmidim, had a very hard time by Reberel Soloveitchik Shirim. Because what they wanted to hear were these, like, earth-shattering Chidushim all the time. And there were times where there were earth-shattering Chidushim, but there were also times where there weren't earth-shattering Chidushim, where the goal was to understand just what's in front of me. And the goal, if it's a simple answer and the answer is good, then that's the answer. And there isn't always a need to have three or four terutzim or three or four different options. If there's a point here and it answers the question, well, then guess what? It answered the question. If you think it's right, then you think it's right. Is there a Talmidim that went to Reberel Soloveitchik had a very hard time adjusting? They wanted to hear a wild Chidushim. By the end, they got to the point where they had to relearn Nashim and Nezikin. Because suddenly my Nashim and Nezikin, I realized, wasn't what it was supposed to be. It has to be a little bit simpler. It has to be a little bit clearer. It has to be with the entire sugya. He writes in his Hesped, it's an amazing thing. And this, I think, is important and sometimes a little bit frustrating. There are shiurim, he says, where, you know, you want to have all the loose ends tied up. Everything has to, like, fit. And everything has to feel, you know, really, really good. And it has to all click in a certain sense. He says, I think his first shiur he ever heard from Reberel Soloveitchik, they were learning Maseches Nazir. And they were learning Maseches Nazir. And in the course of the shiur, there were some things that weren't so clear. And they were trying to figure out, trying to be miyashet, how things fit together. And they didn't have a good resolution. And they ended in a tzarachian. And you're like, but what does that even mean? How could that be? And the point was, this is a point, Birkas Avram point. It's better to end it sometimes in a tzarach ian than it is to have a bad answer that will sort of make you feel good as if you got it. It's okay to say, I'm not sure the answer to this question. It's fine to do that. You can't do that all day, every day, and just be like, what's the answer? Tzarach ian. Tzarach ian, I'm a Talmud in the Birkas Avram. You know, that's not, he wrote Sfarim. It's not like a long thing called, like, you know, tzarach ian. Like, what's, you know, like, that's not what it was. But to be able to understand that it's okay to say, no, and that sometimes you can have a yisod, which really seems to be true. It seems to be true, and there are rayas for it. And someone has a question, it's just tzarachian, But the Yisur really seems to be true, and sometimes about searching for that degree of MS, which can be very, very helpful. He's so into that he has like a recommendation. You know, this is like an Eitzah in learning. Let's say you're in a Shir, and the Rebbe says something, and you're like, no, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. It's happened to the best of us, you know, the guy's giving Shir, and you're like, really? I don't know. Because Avram says, like, you're searching for MS, so he says, ask a Talmud Chacham out there. Ask a Talmud Chacham. If you're hearing Shir from the Gadol Hador, so then, okay, I guess, you know, it is what it is. But if you're hearing Shir from a person that is, at best, an aspiring Talmud Chacham, so then take and, or aspires to be a Talmud Chacham, so then check with someone else. The humility he describes in his Sefer, like Kinyanei Torah, like Pilpul Chaverim, like talk with people and talk with Rebbeim about something. Is that really how you learn Pshat and Tosfos, or not how you learn Pshat and Tosfos? We quote an original Pshat from Shafter and Tosfos on Daf Gimel. I think it's compelling. I think it makes sense. Not everyone learns it that way. Talk around. You don't like it, so talk around a little bit and be able to build that on some level. But for the Birkas Avram, the goal is to understand the sugya in front of you. Understand it. But that means is to understand it with analysis, why people say what they say, what are the principles which come out, but the whole sugya with a sense of pashtus. And it's okay to leave things in a certain sense with a tzarech ian, but it's about that search for MS, which is very good. He recommends dafka. A person's giving chaburas, like we do here on Thursday, you know, after the post-shay last lot. So a person's giving chaburas. The goal of a chabura, it never needs to be to say something original. If you can present something in a nice, organized way, if you can present something with good analysis and there's no that's fine, that's great. The goal is to understand things. Reb Chaim is, you know, was very famous. That Reb Chaim used to say that, you know, our goal is not to say chidushim. Our goal is to understand what the Rishonim were mechadesh. Our goal is to understand the Rishonim. If you understand the Rishonim well, why they say what they say, how they differ, what's motivating them, how do they read the Gemara, things like that. So then we're able to put things together in a very, very meaningful way. What's amazing about the Birkas Avram is that he did it in so many areas of Torah, and even when he retired at age 70, how many people at age 70 are like working with the degree of ambition to say, okay, I've been doing the yeshiva thing for a long time. I really think I now spend more time in some of the mesechtas that maybe we don't learn normally in yeshiva. 70s and 80s, like that's what he's spending his time doing. It's such an amazing, you know, statement as far as ambition. The Birkas Avram also believes, it's not random he wrote on so many topics, he believed that to understand Torah well, it requires a degree of breadth of knowledge. To be broad, you have to know a lot of Torah to be able to say things. To know a lot of Torah to be able to say things. He has some beautiful descriptions of his Rebbe, Reverend Soloveitchik, talking about, you know, Shir by him. Kachim. So Reverend Soloveitchik learned Kachim from his father, from the Brisker Rav. And he learned it. He was saying over Torah from his father in a very, very clear way. The Birkas Avram says that one time Rebbe looked through his notebook. Birkas Avram wrote very nicely. That's why his farm are popular also. It's very clear. It's very pleasant to read. It's understandable. He said that his Rebbe looked through his notebook, and he saw his notebook on Kachim. So what he did was he started putting like parentheses over different points and like bracketing off different areas of the notes, because Rebbe Soloveitchik said, no. The parts which aren't in brackets, those are Torahs I heard from my father, the Brisker Rav. The parts in parentheses are Torahs that come from me. And part of that Misorah is knowing like that you're part of that link, and to be able to feel that in a very deep way. But for him, it's about knowing a certain sort of like breath of Torah. He speaks about when they were learning Nazir and got up to Sugyas related to Taros, just the excitement there. And now we're getting Yisodos and Chidushim in Taros. And he says, you know, by the Brisker Rav, this is part of it. The goal is to understand Torah well, not to have necessarily unbelievable Chidushim. Chidushim will often come, but it's not the goal. And for that reason, it wasn't about jumping around to awesome Sugyas to awesome Sugyas. You can't only learn Afka Inu in this, you know, there are different sugyas which come up, and part of it is you learn what you learn. And guess what? Some days they're not as exciting, and some days aren't as earth-shattering. But you know what you got? A havana in Torah and a havana in a sugya. And that sometimes it's not about, oh my God, that was unbelievable. Whoa, blew my mind. It's about, I understand more Torah right now, and that's a value, and that's a particular toeles, which is undoubtedly present. He quotes twice, both in that piece in his Ma'amarim and also in that Hesped. He quotes twice a line of Rav Baruch Ber. Before he gives Eitzah and Derech HaLimud, he quotes Rav Baruch Ber, the Birkas Shmuel, the great Talmud of Rav Chaim. So the Birkas Shmuel is one of the great Talmudim of Rav Chaim, almost came out all the time in Birkas Shmuel. He always quotes what I heard from, you know, from Rav Chaim. He builds based on Rav Chaim. They once asked Rav Baruch Ber, why do I have to have a Rebbe? He writes, you know, like, just, you know, it's like, read the Berakos Avraham, like Kalim and Derech Halimba, you know, buy the Sefer Ian, which, you know, what does a person need a Rebbe for? What does a person need a Rebbe for? Why is that valuable? There's so many good Sfarim out there. So learn a Rashba, learn a Bekiva Eger. What do you need a Rebbe for? So if Baruch Ber had a line, it's a line which I want to elaborate on a little bit because I think it's a really chashuv line. If you haven't heard this line, it's a good one to know. He said, from Sfarim, you could learn what to say in a sugya. From a Rebbe, you could learn what not to say. What do we mean by that? Let me try and say it in the following way. Sfarim have nice Torah. So I could learn a good Torah of the Rashba. I could learn a great Torah of Kiv Eger. I could learn a great Torah which, you know, from anyone that comes out. It's a good Torah which is there. What that Sefer is never going to do for you is be able to have the interaction of to see what was I thinking about saying, but then I saw really it wasn't correct. That there's an answer here and maybe how you could add on to this point and say it a little bit differently. That Torah, to be Torah which is alive, needs to have that live interaction. The Birkas Avram, writing the Sfarim was a big piece of it, but he was really a Rebbe also. He writes, he quotes from the Shla, that, you know, Torah Shabbal Peh, the Shla pointed out, even though the Gemara says in Gittin and Daf Samech, Eiz Las Lashan, that we write down Torah Shabbal Peh, we still call it Torah Shabbal Peh. Because the flavor has to be a Torah which is alive. It has to be a Torah which is alive, a feeling of Mesora, a feeling of connection, which is undoubtedly supposed to be there, which a person gets, Rebbeim, to have that appreciation in a certain sense, as far as, you know, a style of learning and approach to it. It becomes important to know the process of it, what not to say sometimes, and what to say, what to do, how to build something, how to have an idea, how we identify, you know, we would say in our terms, identifying assumptions and things, being able to build, being able to appreciate, milas, chesron, be able to analyze. A lot of that has to take place in the context of live interactions. The Birkas Avram, his impact was enormous, and felt in our yeshiva. We have his farm in our yeshiva. We have his farm here. If you look around the base magic, you'll see a Birkas Avram. You'll see it on different mesechtas. He's very, very helpful. You know, searching on my computer, we quote the Birkas Avram, you know, and we quote it from time to time, not regularly, but we quote it. It's so good, but a lot of the reason why it's good is because the goal of it is to understand this again in front of you. The goal is to understand shitos, understand what's there, to be able to learn how to be medayik in a rishon, be able to, you'll say sometimes, tarachin, I don't know. You know, he's not interested, he writes, of like, you know, ridiculous chakiras with no nafkaminas just to like, you know, have something fancy to say. To understand what's there is what's really important. With analysis in a certain tradition, he comes from that world of brisk in a very, very real way, identifies, you know, with that, certainly in the way that he learned Gemara. And I think that's a dominant sort of element of what he is. When we talk about it a little bit, the Birkas Avram, you know, it's important. Every morning we sit down in morning seder and it's like, what's our goal? What are we trying to do? So to understand Torah, understand which is there. And a simple answer works. And if you leave in a tzarech ian because you worked hard and something which you can't work out, it's okay. It doesn't make it a waste of time to end in a tzarech ian. And to be able to sometimes learn big sugyas, but also learn small sugyas, but to build in Torah, that's what it is. And some days will be, you know, like razzle dazzle, and some days won't be. And that's fine. That's part of what it is. But to be able to get those skills, to be able to do it with a certain kind of simplicity. And for him, undoubtedly, the role of a Rebbe is there. He points out, even the Brisker Rav, a lot of the people in the Brisker Rav, once you hear it, you're like, oh, that's pretty simple. The point is, I know, but that's it's also MS. You know, like, it's okay. Everything needs to be convoluted to be true. Some things can just be, like, clear, and that works also. And that's something which I think is certainly, you know, there in a very powerful and very, very real and very, very real way. So there's definitely, you know, people pass away. People pass away. We've had some if you keep track in the last 3 weeks or so. There are a couple people over the age of 90 that passed away. The Birkas Avram, 89, 90, passed away. Rav Tendler, I don't think we really spoke about it. I spoke about him a little bit on Shabbos in Nofi alone. Rav Tendler, who was an absolute giant in different ways, and a very fascinating thinker. None of you are yeshiva flappish people, but Rabbi Eliyahu, Rosenzweig's father-in-law, Rabbi Eliyahu, was a longtime principal of Yeshiva Flatbush. But Eliyahu, I believe, was also very much involved in starting the idea of the year in Israel, of coming to Eretz Yisrael. There was Rabbi Galinsky, Zichron Levracha, here in Shalvim. They were in the early, I believe, like people in that movement. Stam, a Kibra Kol's father, was principal of SAR, wrote an awesome, wrote something awesome about Rabbi Eliach. It's really fantastic. You should read it online if you're interested. But there are some great people who have been, and some of these people, which is tricky, were not that active the last like decade or so, active the same way. So some of their names we maybe haven't heard the same way because, you know, as people get a little bit older sometimes, Rabbi Tendler Shear towards the end had one or two people in it, you know, but he was going till he was 95. You know, but had one or two people that were in this year. But that's what happens, you know, sometimes. But it's important to be able to appreciate. And the Birkas Avram, you know, the way that he learned and what he did is very, very significant and very impactful. And his style of learning is one which is very popular. He was clear. He spoke nicely. It was good, nice, tight Torah. And sometimes with the Tzarachian, and sometimes with Epic Chidushim, and sometimes with Big Chidushim. And that's part of the way it was. It was really just a beautiful, beautiful, it's a beautiful set of Sfarim. And it's really something which I think is valuable for us to appreciate.